When you understand yourself more, you can have more compassion for yourself and move from a place of love and understanding. And the more understanding and love you can give to yourself, the more you can give it to others around you and to like anybody else you come in contact with. I think definitely getting sober as well was one of my moments of overcoming the odds too.
Hey y'all, hey, it's your host, Paisa Noel, and welcome to the Paisa Noel Show, hashtag PNS, a talk show based in LA, California, where most of the guests reside. Also a talk show where we always find that laugh. I am stoked that we have officially arrived at PNS Season 2, themed Overcoming the Odds and Pursuing Passion. In addition, PNS viewers and listeners have now been named, drumroll, Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers and Bold Beauties. You may be saying, what do that mean? Well, all that means is that you are bold, beautiful, and not just pursuing, but propelling your passion. And if you're not, quote unquote, yet, I think you will after hearing these stories. Throughout my journey as a former professional dancer turned talk show creator, I have met some fascinating people with inspiring stories. Let's dive on in and hear them. Peace out.
Well, hi, everybody. Hi, the Paisa Noel Show Passion Propellers. How do you guys like that name?
All right.
So if you're new to the show, this is for people that are bold and taking a risk and just going after a passion that they love so much. And we have a new theme for season two, and that is overcoming the odds and pursuing passion. So I have this beautiful woman. I call her my goddess.
Thank you.
LTW with me today, and she definitely fits under this theme. I'll let her first.
I'm so honored, Paisa. Thank you for asking me to do this.
Oh, thank you for doing it for me. I was so excited. So this is actually my first guest, so I'm so excited to have you here.
Yay!
So while I'm talking about first, she is a first in many ways. She was my first, I call it my first yoga teacher. And I fell in love with her class and I was like telling everybody to go. So I just started yoga and people kept saying like, you should take yoga. And my dance teacher kept telling me that. And I was like, oh, I don't know, you know. And then when I took it with Raquel, it was just like, oh my gosh. Like I was like, I should have been doing this such a long time ago. And she has these magic.
I remember that day. Because I remember you said it was your first yoga class. And then in class, you were like a pro. And I was like, and you're like, oh, you're a dancer. And I was like, oh, okay, no wonder, because you got this.
I remember struggling, but.
But even, it was more than just your body. It was your focus and your concentration. And you, I could tell that you went into the zone, the yoga zone of just like transcending time and space.
Awesome. That's cool to know. So she was my first yoga teacher. She also was my first horseback riding teacher. And for her birthday, we went horseback riding. And I was like, I'm scared. And I got on and I got scared. And she was just telling me how to use my inner thigh. Speaking of bodies and about energy and spirits, that was the main thing I picked up. And I'm telling you, I go like a lot now.
I love seeing all your videos when you take other people for their first time. It's such a special thing, I think, especially in like this modern world of a lot of technology, to reintroduce people just to nature-based activities, you know?
Yes, yes. She just taught me the nature and the spirit. And just, I remember when you got off the horse, all of the horses were just like standing around you. I'll never forget that picture. And their noses were all around you. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at this spirit. Every time I ride a horse now, they take on like my personality. Like I'll kind of put my hand on them and let them feel my energy.
Yeah.
Raquel taught me how to do this. So that was my first everything, a lot of firsts with Raquel. So.
Oh, and I always feel so honored every time that you remind me of those stories, because it's just special, you know, and I always thought you were an awesome person. And I'm grateful to, you know, get to share things that I love. And when other people realize they love them too, it's just like continue to light the spark, you know?
Yes, yes. I do want to go towards the theme. We're saying overcoming the odds. So I just want to read what I saw on Google, because that will enforce more of what we mean by overcoming the odds. It says, if you're highly unlikely to achieve something, the odds are said to be against you. And if you succeed nonetheless, then you have overcome the odds. And then it's also something seemingly improbable. And if you overcome that, then you have overcome the odds. And I also use defy the odds interchangeably, but I really like the word overcome. So I was like, we're going to use overcome.
All right.
But it's also something, if you accomplish something that most deem impossible. So if you overcome the odds, you can overcome anything.
When I was reading through what you wrote down, I was like, oh, this is covers pretty much like all my story. So here we go. Just a little brief snippet of me, where I'm at today is, you know, I published my first poetry book. I started a publishing company and a few businesses last year. So, you know, like many people, my jobs like dried up and I was like, well, let's get creative. And I always knew I wanted to do these things at some point in my life, but I had the time. So it was like, let's start it now. So I started my spiritual tool shop, which is Carrie's spiritual tools. You know, I'm a multi-generational healer. So I've been doing my healing work for a long time and people would always send me questions and seek me out for spiritual advice. So I just finally decided I'm going to have a store where I carry everything that I'm recommending to people anyways. And then I also do permanent makeup now, and I have a family, and we just got two baby bunny girls. So I love my fur friends. I like, you know, with, I have a love of animals, and I have a dream of having a small farm, but a horse ranch with at least 7 horses one day. And I know that's going to happen. Anytime you have a dream on your heart, it's because that is just a flash of the future. And it's like a guiding map for you to go on, is what I believe. And when I was hearing you talk about overcoming the odds, how you said when the odds are, you know, higher kind of like against you or to kind of stay in this route, that's only the odds up until the point you're at. And as soon as you have one person who overcomes the odds that are in place up to that point in time, you change the trajectory of everybody else coming from similar odds as you. As soon as something is done, like for a very like kind of black and white example in the Olympics, anytime an athlete breaks a record or sets a new record for any particular field, as soon as somebody breaks that record that has never been achieved before, then all of a sudden more and more people can break that record because somebody set the new precedent. It only had never been done up until that person had done it. And the same goes for anything else in life. It has only never been done before because you haven't done it or somebody else hasn't done it. But as soon as somebody else does it, then it's the norm. So here we are.
I love that. Oh my gosh. And I thought of so many other examples when you said that. And I was like, that's so true.
Oh, tell me one.
Well, the first thing I thought about was me moving to LA. Mm-hmm. For my life thing, when I moved to LA.
I forget, where are you from, Paisa?
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, all the way across the country. Okay. So, and I even had a teacher say, you're not going to last being that far from your family and blah, blah, blah. I've been here almost 20 years now. I'm aging myself, but after that,
out when you were a baby,
something like that. So, everybody else, cause I went straight out of high school to college and, now you can really do the math, but everybody else started moving this far and said, oh, I should move out here and go for my dreams and stuff like that. And then it became a norm. And now I know some people went back home, but it's a normal thing of like, you can go to California now, but everybody thought I was so crazy at first.
Then you did it and you changed that narrative.
And the norm is move, get out of Charlotte. Yep. You know, now that's the norm, mm-hmm. but I've never thought of it that way. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you for sharing your story too.
You're welcome. This ain't my turn, but I just think about it.
It's important, you know, because I think the more you realize that, then it's, you know, you could do those things in small areas of your life or what you think as small, and then you can build up to bigger ones to kind of make it easier.
Yes. I love that. Did you have any challenges as a teenager or a kid? And from reading your books and stuff, it sounds like you really overcame some stuff. So
oh, thank you. I know, like a little flash of the book there. I really, you know, I did. And I don't talk about it all the time, but I do know that it's good for me to get it out there. And I was thinking about that, you know, just that I'm grateful that I get to share it on your show today, because I think sometimes it's easy to think that when you see somebody who has what you perceive as attained a lot of success or accomplished a lot of their goals, or maybe is living a life that you would like to live as well, you have to remember that you don't know what they overcame to get to that point, but also you don't know what their whole life looks like. Yeah, I say that just because it's like, yes, you know, I do have like my marriage and my children and my two bunnies who I was like, you know what, I want to have a small farm one day. Let's start small with some bunnies. And, you know, being a mom and being married was a dream of mine at one point in my life, right? And then publishing my book was a dream of mine at one point in my life. But I will say, you know, growing up, you know, I have a lot of blessings, but there was also challenges. You know, my parents separated and divorced when I was 13. And just like even leading up to the separation, I started to go through depression. I just literally realized that, I don't know, in the past couple of months that I'm like on the spectrum of ADHD, and I just never knew it, which makes so much sense. I'm definitely the one where like I'm an artist and I feel things very deeply. So that means like I feel beautiful things very deeply, but also traumatic and sad things, I feel that really deeply too. And so like my parents divorced. And then at that time, like I had lost one of my aunts who I was really close to cancer. And like, we didn't have our dogs anymore because my parents divorced, and just all this like financial stress and like going from having a lot to like having like food scarcity. And I come from like a very tough family. Like I'm Mexican and Native American, and it's very much like a cowboy mentality. I mean, that's where the riding horses comes from. We're definitely like hunt for your own food, fish for your own stuff type of family. I had this mentality when I was a teenager, like, Raquel, you're a teenager. Like, this isn't so bad. There are worse things in life. And now that I'm an adult, looking back, I'm like, that was like literally some of the hardest times in my life. And I was so hard on myself for feeling sad about it and being depressed, when I'm like, no, that was actually a really challenging time in your life. And that's like almost as hard as it gets. I had depression. I had like suicidal ideation. And it was just so much like hormonal imbalance. I didn't know about the ADHD. So yeah, there was all that. And now I got sober at 19 years old. My outer environment was, it was chaos and it wasn't, right? Like, I feel like I definitely had my angels like always protecting me, because anytime that anything like bad happened, like a shooting or like a really bad like fight where people got hurt, I somehow like wasn't there. Like I was just, I think like, I'm just really grateful for that. But yeah, I definitely attended more funerals by the time I was 18 than I think like most people do. Now that I look back, I'm like, really, like not everybody like has friends and family who were shot and killed when they were teenagers, you know, and just like validating myself that that's really traumatic. As I did more work, because there's different layers to healing, I realized that one of my core fears or like walls around me to being more public and doing things like this or doing my podcast really circled around the fact that I was literally afraid to be seen. I was afraid to be seen. I was afraid to shine and be in the spotlight because validly, I was afraid to die. Like, I felt like if I shine too bright, I might die. Mm-hmm. And I really literally did not form that belief on like a conscious level. I didn't. But upon like doing my inner work and realizing, because I was like, you know, I'll get creative ideas. And I'm like, what's blocking me? You know, like I had my poetry book ready 10 years before I actually published it.
Wow.
And I mean, that was like a mixed layer of things. I remember, I think we had, you know, we were working together at the yoga studio. And I think I had like shared with you that dream, like I have this poetry book and I'm like ready to do it. But it really boiled down to like, I just didn't feel like I was worthy yet. I felt like I still I'm just going to be really honest on Pisces' show. I had body dysmorphia when I worked at that yoga studio, and I just didn't even know it because what I saw reflected in TV and the media, and I had this grandiose view of like, I want to be able to go. And I still have this to be interviewed by Oprah and to be like, you know, in all these bookstores. And I just felt like I had to be really like thin and in shape. And I didn't think like maybe unrealistic to what I could be. I just felt like I need to be in my best shape ever to publish my book so it can be as successful as I know it can be. And what's funny is I was like so thin then. That was like before kids. And now with the two kids and like my little one was, I think, like just under two when I had published my book. And like, finally, I think after I had my children, it was like, you know what? Now's the time. That's it. Like, I'm perfect and I'm beautiful. And I realized with my children that I want to embody to them what I want to instill in them. And I realized, well, no matter what size my children are, like they're perfect and adorable and I love them. And I want to teach them how to love themselves too. But where does that start? It starts with me. If I want to teach them that they can achieve their dreams and do anything that they want to in life, I need to walk my talk. So there we go. Here I am. And still like moving through. When you understand yourself more, you can have more compassion for yourself and move from a place of love and understanding. And the more understanding and love you can give to yourself, the more you can give it to others around you and to like anybody else you come in contact with. I think definitely getting sober as well was one of my moments of overcoming the odds too. And I was so young, like I didn't really see anybody else in like AA meetings that were really as young as me at the time. Now I know a lot of other young people who are getting sober, and I think that's just fabulous. I celebrated like my 17th sober anniversary. Thank you. I'm like, I'm a teenager now. And as the years and the days added on, I was like, dude, I'm accomplishing so much with my life because I took that out. And it wasn't even just that I took the alcohol away. It's because I changed my habits and my lifestyle because of it. I'm 36 years old now. And looking back on just the life that I've had, just like life is so precious, even the hard things. You know, I'm a survivor too. And I overcame like feeling shame about being a survivor of sexual abuse and how like I tried to keep that in the closet for so long, just the shame around it. And then with Me Too camp coming out and just a lot of prayer and meditation, I just realized, I was like, you know what? I want to show any other young women in my family, or if God forbid, you know, my children or anybody else that I know, it's something that you never want anybody, you know, to ever go through. But if it does happen to them, I want them to know that it's not their fault. And I believe them, and just that it's not their fault. And there's going to be people who believe them, and they don't have to carry it in their hearts. I remember even going through those things and praying to God about it, because I felt like for a while, you know, that maybe, I don't know, like, was God mad at me? Like, maybe I don't really like you, God, since you like allowed this to happen, you know, like, I don't know. I'm a deep, deep thinker. I analyze like everything from all multifaceted ends. And then I came to this peace because I was like, no, you know what? I know God loves me. I really do. I feel it in my soul and my heart. And I heard this, I watched this Jenny Rivera show. I don't know if you know who she is. She was a female Latin singer. She was saying to, I think it was her niece, one day other women who have gone through what we've gone through are going to look back on us. We're going to write a book about it. And they're going to look back on it and it's going to be their survival handbook. And I think that's ultimately like what it's all about. So you just never know. You never know by doing the hard things that you know are going to be good for you, that you know are for your best, are going to inspire other people one day. Like even you doing your show, you don't know who you're inspiring. Like even with my podcast, I have all these new ones to record. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know, is anybody listening? You know? And then I look at my stats. I'm like, no, people are listening. And I don't even know who's listening at this point. But, and then sometimes literally strangers will like come up to me or message me at the flea market that I do with my spiritual tool shop. And people who I don't know who they are have come up and like bought something from my crystal shop. And they're like, I listened to your podcast. And I'm like,
oh my gosh,
you do. And it's like, you know, you set your intentions. Cause I mean, the reason why I do my podcast is for a lot of reasons, but I'll say like one of my main ones is that I want people of color who come from like working class backgrounds or whatever backgrounds that they come from to have access to spiritual tools that they might not otherwise have access to. You know, like I found yoga, I found meditation, I found like, or, you know, I even have like what I grew up with as my baseline, but not everybody has that. And I can't talk to everybody, you know? So when people actually who I do not know say that they listen and they get something from it, I'm just like, it's working. It's like the build it and they will come. Like somehow they come.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am blown away. Okay. Let me back all the way up. Like you would never know, audience, that Raquel has been through all that. Every time you would tell a story, I would be like, oh my gosh, you went through all that. You really went through a lot and you would never know. And one of the things I actually wrote down in my notes was that Raquel taught me more kindness. Like I've never met anybody so nice, and like the energy and just your spirit and everything is just so kind.
Hey, you make me cry.
Like, I mean, and that's what I was telling my coworkers today. I was just like, oh my gosh, like, she's just so nice. I would never know you've been through all that. Like never. And I mean, number one, I don't know, number 100 maybe, but thank you for being so open to share, because this story is going to really inspire and push people and just know that they're not alone. And that's what this show is about. Like, I want people to know that they're not alone. And looking at how you're thriving now and what you went through, like you added all these other things. And I'm like, I didn't know all that. Good gracious.
And I was, you know, just, what I feel like that's gosh. What you got to go with, that, you know, your past doesn't define you.
Yeah.
Things that you're not defined by what's happened to you or even where you're at right now. I was just telling my sister that I'm just that type of personality that thrives in adversity. And for whatever, because I've taken so many hits in life so far, I'm like, what is that? That I know what you did last summer. What are you waiting for? Like, whatever, you know, like I can take it. No, I can have peace and I can have abundance. But also still know that life has ebbs and flows. And no matter what, I will be okay. Like,
stay tuned for part two of the Paisa Noel Show with Raquel T.W. Thank you for tuning in to the Paisa Noel Show, hashtag PNS. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, got something out of it, and found that laugh somewhere. If you are a visual person like me and you want to see these stunning guests in their interviews, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Paisa Noel Show PNS. If you're feeling the PNS podcast, please hook a sister up with a fantastic rate and review. Okay. They just got the option on Spotify now too. So, you know, hook a girl up. Last but not least, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Paisa Noel Show. Blessings, love, and laughter, y'all. Peace out.